open his eyes that he may see. Open his eyes. The young man went out, and he saw, didn't he? And he saw around about this city surrounded with horses and chariots. Elisha saw what his servant couldn't see and what the Syrians couldn't see. Blessed is the man who has his eyes opened by God. God opens and no man can close, and he closes what no man can open. He makes blind. He sends blindness and he sends light. God's servants in this world, God's children in this world, see what no other person can see. Noah, in all of that huge multitude that was to drown, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, and he saw what no one else could see. Isaiah saw what no one else could see. David and Jeremiah and Ezekiel, they saw what no one else can see. The children of God see through God-given eyes of faith what no one else can see. And we will see, as Elisha saw and Elisha's servant was made to see, the glory of God. The glory of God in mercy and the glory of God in judgment. Who do you say that I am? It's a great question, isn't it? Who do you say I am? The Lord Jesus Christ asked them in Matthew 16. And thou art the Christ, is the cry of every believer, isn't it? It's a cry of Peter, isn't it? Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And what was the answer from the Lord Jesus Christ? You're a very clever fellow, Peter. You've done very well. You've been listening hard. No, listen to what Jesus answered. Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood, no matter how polished the flesh is and no matter how learned it is, flesh and blood have not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. God hides things from the wise and prudent, and he reveals them unto babes. God is the hider. God is the creator of eyes, and God is the creator of light that illuminates the eyes of faith to see him. Elisha, no doubt, went outside of his dwelling that morning when the young man cried out, and there was a force that was too mighty to withstand. Who are we? Who's Elisha against this mighty force? Have you ever felt that way, overwhelmed by what's around you? But Elisha saw the power and the presence of God. And listen to what he says. What shall we do, said the young man. What shall we do? Verse 15 and verse 16, Elisha says, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. Fear not. Fear not. Elisha saw a physical situation in this world, which is distressing and disturbing. And Elisha also saw God. And where does he see God? He sees God above it. I love the fact that in the midst of this young man's distress, Elisha was given rest. If you see God, you will be at rest in the things of this world. Alas, my master, what shall we do? Elisha didn't say that. He saw what God was there. There is no harm that can befall the righteous in the world. Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah. It's a blessing from God to see what God is. Open mine eyes, says the psalmist. What a great prayer. Psalm 119. Open mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. The wondrous thing, of course, is the Lord Jesus Christ, and everything that God does is wondrous. That's all he ever does. So what a great prayer for us to pray for our brothers and sisters and for those who are out of the way, in all sorts of ways people are out of the way. What a great prayer to pray for our brethren in every circumstance of life when everything around is overwhelming. Open my eyes that I might see. Open my eyes. The God of this world has blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel, who is the image of God, should shine upon them. The eyes of faith, as I said, rest in a troubled world when events are overwhelming. The eyes of faith do not grow dim with years, but they become more far-seeing. The older you get in the Lord Jesus Christ, the more needy you are. The more needy you are for him, the more needy you are for his word, the more needy you are for fellowship with him and his people in the midst of him being worshipped. The young man was troubled. The old man was at peace. The young man was panicking. The old man was at rest. The young man needed confidence and assurance. And the old man said, this is where you'll find it when your eyes are opened. The young man saw the danger and didn't see the deliverance. The young man saw the enemy and didn't see the saviour, the deliverer. Elisha prayed for him. Isn't this lovely? Elisha couldn't open his eyes. No human man can open the eyes of another to see the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. But Elisha could do what we can do, and he could seek the Lord. He could say, Lord, open his eyes. A prayer of faith. Elisha prayed, isn't it? And a prayer of faith is saying, I'm dependent upon you to do all things. I'm absolutely and utterly in your hands, and I'm utterly dependent. Like a little child, you must do it. He creates, our God creates, the sight of spiritual realities that the natural man will never see. No amount of evidence will ever make the difference. God must give eyes to see. The prayer of faith asks the impossible, isn't it? What's impossible with man is possible with God. A new heart, says the Lord, I will give you, and new eyes to see, a new heart of faith to lay hold of these promises, and a new life to live on these promises. God's children walk in this world by faith and not by sight. Dear, oh dear, I wish the Lord would teach me that. We walk by faith and not by sight. What's that mean about our sight? Always, always, in every situation, our sight needs to be adjusted by the word of God so that we will see God. That's exactly the situation of this young man. It's exactly our situation. Open his eyes that he could see the glory of God. If you can see the glory of God, everything else will be all right. If you see the Lord Jesus Christ sitting on his throne, ruling and reigning over all things, then you will rest. You will rest. He's seated right now in heaven's glory. If you could see him in his glory, you would rest. If you could see him in his glory, you'd rejoice in him. If you could see him in his glory, you'd find yourself trusting, believing him. If you could see him in his glory, you would rest in his providence. If you could see him in his glory, all of a sudden the important things would be really important, and the things that aren't important would have their place. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. They are foolishness to him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. They are spiritually discerned. What does this man see when his eyes are open? What a glorious, glorious thing to see. The lamp, verse 17. Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. He was seeing already, wasn't he? He was seeing already, and all he saw was danger. Open his eyes, and now he's going to see properly. Now he's going to see. And what does he see? And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man. He saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire. Where were they? Around Elisha. There was an enemy that surrounded the city, but around Elisha was all of this. Full of horses and chariots around Elisha. Oh Lord, open my eyes. to see you as the force causing everything, to see that you reign and rule above all the circumstances and all the providence and all the events of this world, and you do it for your glory and you do it for the good of all of your people. What comes first in God's economy? Spiritual reality or a physical reality? What comes first? God, who is spirit, says, let there be light. And there was light. God says, let there be a universe, and a universe exists always, brothers and sisters. Remember that spiritual realities precede all natural realities that we see. And spiritual realities determine all of the natural realities of this world. This world is here for the glory of God. This world exists that the Lord Jesus Christ would reveal all of the glory of God, all of the magnitude and the magnificence of the character of God on the cross of Calvary. And this world and this universe as it is exists because of those spiritual realities. And when those spiritual realities have achieved the last, when the last of God's children is born again and saved, this earth, as we see it, has no need for existence any longer, and God will wrap it up. All of the saints of God have believed that they're living in the last days throughout time. They did it in Paul's day. They've been doing it for the last 2,000 years. But each day is a day closer, brothers and sisters. Each day is a day closer for us as we walk in this earth to be enwrapped in a spiritual reality which will drown all of the things of this world in the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you see him, you see him in his glory. You see him in his glory and providences, in his glory and his purposes and his salvation. You see him in his glory in eternity. You'll see him in his glory in this world. You'll see him reigning and ruling over all things. The natural eye just can't see a sovereign, an absolutely sovereign God, but they can see men ruling. The natural eye can't see the righteousness and the holiness of God's law, but they can see their own obedience. The natural man is blind and deaf, and no amount of evidence is going to make any difference to them. The Lord Jesus Christ was God Almighty doing the things that were promised of God Almighty in the very place they were promised, at the very time they were promised, in the very way they were promised. He was a living, breathing Old Testament. And there he was in the face of those people who knew the Old Testament off by heart, and they didn't have a clue who he was because they were blind. They were blind. These men, these Syrians, see all of this and they want, then they came down to Elisha, and Elisha prayed unto the Lord and said, smite this people, I pray thee, with blindness. What an extraordinary thing that God will do. Smite these people, I pray, with blindness. Why are people blind? Because God has blinded them. God has blinded them. And he smote them with blindness according to the word of Elisha. And then Elisha leads this army. See, blind people can be led. These blind people are very, very fortunate because they are led by a child of God. God says that the blind in this world, the religiously blind in this world, are leading the blind in this world. And what's the end result of it? They both fall into the ditch. This is a glorious exercise of the grace of God in the lives of these people. Elisha, verse 19, says, this is not the way, neither is this the city. Follow me and I will bring you to the man whom you seek. And he led them to Samaria. Samaria was the capital of those northern tribes of Israel. And it came to pass when they had come into Samaria that Elisha said, Lord, open the eyes of these men that they may see. He sees the power and the sovereignty of God. He can say to an army, be blind, and they're all blind, every single last one of them, and they can be led like babies into the midst of Samaria. And the king of Israel said to Elisha, when he saw them, "My father, shall I smite them? Shall I smite them?" Here we have this enemy that had been pursuing us to destroy us, and here we have them all blind, all without any weapons, without any chariots, without any armour, all of them here blind as bats, and we've got them captive. I just love the picture of grace, isn't it? What a picture Elisha leaves us with those who would do us ill in this world. He adds in verse 22, "Thou shalt not smite them. Wouldst thou smite those whom thou hast taken captive with thy sword and with thy bow? Set bread and water before them, that they may eat and drink and go to their master." And he prepared great provision for them. When they had eaten and drunk, he sent them away and they went to their master, so the bands of Syria came north no more into the land of Israel. What a glorious, glorious way God has a lesson here for us in dealing with those who oppose us. The Lord Jesus Christ takes captivity captive. He takes captivity captive. He says that he will make his enemies his footstool. He will make his enemies his footstool. What were you? What were you before God? What were you to God that you didn't see? Romans 5, what were you? Romans 5 verse 8, "But God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners." You're sinners. That's the description of God that God has of us. Christ died for us. "Much more then, now being justified by his blood, shall we be saved from wrath through him. For when we were enemies..." Do you remember being an enemy of God? Some people say, "I've always loved God. I've always believed in God." That's way, way too long, brothers and sisters in Christ. That's way, way too long. You must be born again. You must be born again. "If when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement." We have received the atonement. What a glorious picture that he takes his enemies captive and he takes them to a place of captivity and then he sets a great feast before them. What a picture of our God in his salvation. How much we need our eyes opened by God. How much we ought to be praying that God would open our eyes, that we would see him in his glory, that we would see what's encamped around us. I said in the earlier message that according to God Almighty, there are angels camped around us now. One angel outside Jerusalem destroyed a whole army in one night without Hezekiah or anyone else in Jerusalem having to lift a finger. 185,000 soldiers died outside. One angel. The angels are encamped around. The angels are present here with us. God Almighty is present in the midst of these people and he gathers these people together. The angels, those chariots and the horsemen of God were camped about Elisha. We need our eyes opened. We need our eyes opened to the holiness and the glory of God. We need our eyes opened to see the glory of the Saviour. We need our eyes opened to see the majesty of his salvation. We need our eyes opened to see even our need of a Saviour. We need our eyes opened because the natural man can see works, but not grace. The natural man can see the things of this world, but he can't see the things of God Almighty. The natural man can see sin in others, but he can't see sin in himself. The natural man sees no great need. It's like Paul, that perfect Pharisee. He was absolutely blind to the holiness of God. He was absolutely blind to what God's law demanded of him. He says, I was alive once. I was living the life of a Pharisee. I was living the life of a religious and zealous man. I was proclaiming God wherever I could, and I was destroying anyone who stood opposed to him. I was alive. I thought I was alive without the law. But when the commandment came, sin revived, and I died. God's law slays the natural man. The natural man is blind to the holiness of God's law. He's blind to who God is himself. Open our eyes. Open our eyes. What happened when Elijah's eyes were opened? When he was in that temple, he saw the Lord Jesus Christ high and lifted up. He saw the Lord Jesus Christ filling the temple. And what was his cry? He says, I'm undone. I'm a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. Job saw God Almighty and heard God speak to him, and his response is, I'm vile, vile, behold, I'm vile. And then he says, I abhor myself and I repent in dust and ashes. He's already in dust and ashes, but he still was in dust and ashes that was proud of his own righteousness. He was wanting to defend himself at the end of all of those accusations. And in his dust and ashes, he wasn't low enough. He wasn't low enough. He had to be brought spiritually low. The natural man can't see God in everything, and the natural man can't see everything that is in God. The natural man, when his eyes are open and he gets to see, you'll see the emptiness and the deceitfulness of religion. The natural eye can't see its condition. The natural eye can't see the way of salvation. He doesn't know the righteousness of God. He doesn't see how much he needs a saviour. He doesn't see the sufficiency of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the other thing that the natural man cannot see, and the Syrians couldn't see until Elisha had led them to a place of feasting and opened their blinded eyes again, the natural man can't see the messengers of God as who they are. They are, in this world, God's servants, insignificant people. Elisha was just ploughing when Elijah came to him. David was just an insignificant shepherd boy when God came to him. Amos was just tending shepherds in the hills of Tekoa. They were nothing. They were nothing. Notice where the focus of the Lord's army was. It was around about Elisha. God's servants in this world seem so human and so frail and so weak, and they have a treasure, the treasure of God's gospel. They have it in an earthen vessel. And you look closely at the earthen vessel and you see the cracks and the frailty and the fragility of it. But if God gives you eyes to see, you'll see who they are in God's sight. Touch not my anointed, says God, and do my prophets no harm. The eyes of faith. The open eyes of faith. But I want us to be reminded that when the eyes were opened, when God opens eyes, is he revealing something that didn't exist before, or is he just revealing what did always exist? Elisha walked through that world with an army of God surrounding him all the time. How safe are you, brothers and sisters in Christ? How safe are you under the care of God Almighty? Nothing new was created. Just like if we pull all these curtains down, you couldn't see the mountains and the trees out there. But when your eyes are open and the curtains are up, does that create the mountains, or does it just reveal the Creator? It just reveals the creation that's already there. The Syrians didn't see, the rest of Israel didn't see, only two people saw. Elisha and his servants. What makes the difference? What makes the difference? Who makes the difference always? It is God alone. And what does spiritual blindness have to do? What's the effect of spiritual blindness on people? Both the Syrians and the rest of Israel saw nothing in this that was lasting at all. Israel continued on its rebellion against God, and they didn't see the grace and mercy of God, and they didn't hear the words of God from Elisha. Spiritual blindness causes people to be content with what they are, with what they believe, with what they do, have done, or plan to do. The publican was very pleased with himself when he went to the temple in Luke's gospel, wasn't he? He's very pleased. He says, I thank God that I'm so special. I thank God that I'm above this bit of rubbish that's here beside me, beating on his chest. He was totally content with his being, with his future. He was so sure of getting into heaven that he might as well have already been there in his eyes. And everyone else around thought the same of him. The Lord Jesus says he's a blind leader, and the publican went home. That publican who beat on his chest went home. He says, be merciful to me, the sinner. God sent him home, saved and justified in the sight of God. And no one else in Jerusalem saw it. No one else saw it. Oh, children of God, it's what God sees. It's what God sees. God sees his creation. God sees the work of his hands. And he rejoices. And the spiritually blind will never see unless God opens their eyes. Spiritual blindness makes men proud of what they ought be ashamed of. It makes them proud of what they ought to be ashamed of. It makes them proud of their righteousness, and there they are before God, clothed in nothing but filthy rags, and they go around bragging about how special they are and how wonderful their righteousness. We are, by nature, Adam's children. We're covered in rags and we're proud. We think we are rich and we're in need of nothing, but we don't realise that we're diseased and poor and naked and blind. We think we're whole, and yet we are broken and need a saviour. We're fools before God, but we're proud of our wisdom. We ought to be crying out to God to save us from ourselves. Instead, we're strutting around as proud as peacocks. There is a turning of things upside down. The blind lead the blind. Lord, open his eyes, that he might see. Lord, open my eyes that I might see. Lord, open the eyes of those who hear your gospel here and throughout this world, that they might see, that they might see the spiritual reality of the world in which they must live. Open my eyes that I might see your future for me, perfectly secure. All that God requires of me, he looks to his Son for. All that God requires of me, he can only ever find in his Son. To live in this world with eyes awake to the reality of who the Lord Jesus Christ is, the reality of what happened on Calvary's cross when he shed his precious blood, the reality of that glorious resurrection. Please remember, brothers and sisters, that when he rose from the dead in a city of a million people, in a nation and in a world of darkness, he only ever appeared to his people. He only ever appears to his people. What a mercy. What a mercy to be able to cry out to him, saying, open my eyes. Open the eyes of those I love. Open the eyes of those who are your enemies. What's impossible with man is possible with God. And may the Lord make us as gracious to our enemies as Elisha was to these Syrians. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we pray your mercy upon us. We pray, Heavenly Father, that you would enlighten our eyes, that you would cause a new creation, which is created in righteousness and true holiness, to continually have its eyes open to see the Lord Jesus Christ in his glory, to see him in his absolute sovereignty, to see that he's the one that performeth all things for us. My Father, be merciful. Be merciful to those that we grieve over at this time for the failings of their bodies, Heavenly Father. We do pray that in the midst of all of these difficult circumstances, that they might just glimpse the beauties of the Lord, the glory of his protection and his provision, the wonders of he who performs all things for them. And our Father, we pray that like Elisha, we might find ourselves at rest in a troubled world, resting and rejoicing in who our great God and Saviour is. For we pray in Jesus' name, our Father, and for his glory, and we thank you. We thank you for acceptance in the blood. Pray in his name.